Looking to fill out your brackets and compete with others? The ESPN Tournament Challenge app gives you the power to create groups or join existing groups to compete with other fans, ESPN personalities, or celebrities, and that's not all. The app provides helpful tools like autofill, chalk, and finish my bracket to help you fill out your brackets quickly and easily. And if you need help boosting your bracket even more, use your ESPN Plus subscription to unlock advanced tools. Tip-off is almost here. Download and fill out your bracket now with the ESPN Tournament Challenge app.
And speaking of the tournament, the NCAA Women's Championship first round begins tomorrow morning, 11 Eastern, on ESPN2 with a great slate of games. South Florida squares off against Miami, followed by South Dakota and Ole Miss. ESPN has Howard and Incarnate Word taking on number one seed South Carolina. Then 2 Eastern, it's Illinois State matched up against Caitlin Clark in Iowa. All games are also available on the ESPN app, so you can watch anywhere. Okay, now I want you to check out this eye candy. You know, we love the huge dunks. And look, this is Jalen Leclerc going for the dunk. Boom! But look at everybody around him. RC, what do you think about this? Because this dude's first moving off, right out of the way.
First off, what you stand there for in the first place if you was going to move? That's dumb. If you're going to take the charge, or just get out of the picture completely. Because now you're still in the picture, and you just look scary. So what I would have did is when I saw him running this way, I would have ran past him, swiped at the ball, threw my hand up, and tried to get the leak out early. That is dumb. I'm not finna stand there with my hands crossed across my chest and let you dunk on me while I'm running out there. My mom probably in the stands. I probably got cousins here. I done gave people tickets. The boys in the girls club is there, and he watching me do this while I'm making all this money. Man, hell no. Get out the way earlier. That's a nice dunk, though.
I love it. To me, it's like just walk away, just never even get in the picture. That's the key. Now you're on blast. All right, well, welcome back to Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport, and we're brought to you by Chase. Thanks so much for joining us. We got our guys here to talk a lot of football, and we say get up to you because the big talk, Deshaun Watson's future. The Texans quarterback could be traded any minute now. We get the latest from Adam Schefter who has the inside track. Plus, mile-high expectations in Denver. You won't believe what Russell Wilson said he wants to accomplish with his new team. And the Lakers took another step towards missing the play-in tournament. Could the unthinkable actually happen? And where does it leave LeBron? We've got a lot more and that on Get Up. But we start today with the game of the night, Mavericks-Nets. What a game it was. KD and the Nets hosting the Mavericks. They're in Brooklyn, so no Kyrie playing. Fourth quarter, 2:30 to go, tied at 104. Luka Doncic backing down Goran Dragic. Boom! Makes the fadeaway jumper. Mavs up 2. Under a minute to go. Nets trailing by 2. Watch Durant. Misses the jumper, but Nick Claxton there to finish it off. We're tied at 108. Ensuing Mavs possession, Doncic again guarded by Goran Dragic, and he makes him pay. Watch the fadeaway jumper. Good. Mavericks up 2. 15 seconds to go. Same score. You know who's getting the ball. You know who's taking the shot. And you know who's making it. KD with the 3. And now it's Mavericks time. 7 seconds to go. Doncic with the ball in his hands. Can't make it happen. Swings it to Spencer Dinwiddie. The game-winning 3. Good. And that is game. Spencer Dinwiddie, the former Net who they let go, makes Brooklyn pay, and the Mavericks win 113 to 111. And I got to tell you, the end of this game was worth the price of admission, as over the last 5 minutes, no lead was larger than 3, and there were 8 game-tying or go-ahead buckets. As for KD, he said he wanted the ball out of Luka's hands, but now he got it in Dinwiddie's, and Dinwiddie's the first Mavericks player not named Luka to hit a game-winning buzzer beater since November of 2017. Now, let's get to football, where a decision could come at any moment on Deshaun Watson's future and where he's going to play next. Watson met with the Falcons yesterday after meeting with the Saints and the Panthers and the Browns earlier this week. Now, as for the Texans, they just wanted to prove that they were very serious about trading Deshaun Watson. So look at this. Nick Caserio on the phone. Nothing to report yet, but Nick sent us this photo. He's working the phones, guys. Ooh. Get a view. Roz loves that. And by the way, speaking of working the phones, we got Adam Schefter with us, NFL insider, senior NFL insider joining us. And Adam, what is the latest on Watson?
Well, Ryan, you and everybody else in the football universe is waiting for a decision from Deshaun Watson, who has now concluded and wrapped up meetings with four different teams, the most recent coming on Wednesday when he met in Atlanta with the Falcons. The Falcons were the only team to have a home field advantage for this particular meeting. They delivered an elaborate presentation to Deshaun Watson on why he would fit in Atlanta with the team that he once served as a ball boy for. He's known Arthur Blank, the Falcons owner, since he's been a ball boy for the Falcons. And obviously Atlanta, like the Saints, like the Carolina Panthers, and like the Cleveland Browns, all want Deshaun Watson in their respective city. It's not a case of them listening to Deshaun Watson and everything that he's been through the last year to make a determination about whether or not they would be willing to trade for him. All four teams would trade for him right now, assuming that Deshaun Watson would give the word to the Texans, which he will at some point, perhaps today or tomorrow, that he's willing to waive his no-trade clause to be traded to one of these teams. And once he tells the Texans which team he would like to be traded for, the Texans then can go try to execute a trade with that particular team, and Deshaun Watson would then be dealt to that city to play quarterback for the foreseeable future. These are the four teams in the mix. Everybody's looking for a read. I think Cleveland's on the outside looking in. I think that they were impressive during the presentation, but the fact of the matter is they're up north. They're in the AFC, and I think it will be challenging for the Browns to pull off a trade just because of the cold weather, just because they play away from the area in which Deshaun Watson is from. I think people look at the Saints as the team that went into this process with basically an advantage. I think the Falcons and Panthers have made up ground here during the presentations. I think it's going to be one of the NFC South teams in the end here, and we'll see what Deshaun Watson ultimately decides to do.
Adam Schefter, great job this morning giving us the latest on what's happening with Deshaun Watson. Adam, thank you so much, and we'll keep standing by with you in case anything happens. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now let's bring in our guys, Dan Graziano, Mike Tannenbaum, Ryan Clark, Booger McFarland. Booger, I start with you because this is the move that everybody's waiting for. Where will Deshaun Watson go? Where do you think he fits in best with in terms of bringing a team into the Super Bowl conversation?
Well, when you're a top five quarterback, to me, you can fit anywhere. And then it's up for the coaching staff and in front office to put the pieces around you. So let me first say that. I think if you're Deshaun Watson, you have to figure out what you want and how you're going to get it. And I would start at the top with ownership. All along, we've all said that ownership, head coach, GM, city, family, everybody's got to be in lockstep and on board with this decision. And if you just go back to last year, the name you keep hearing from me is Carolina and David Tepper. It seems like David Tepper is hell-bent on getting a winner in Carolina. He's willing to do whatever it takes. More importantly, everybody in the organization understands and knows this is what I want as the owner. This is what we're going to get. And if you're not on board, y'all better let me know, because as an owner, this is where I'm headed. So if I'm Deshaun Watson, I think he can go anywhere. But if you're trying to get close to home, get in familiar territory, play for an organization that you know has your back, because there's going to be difficult times ahead. We all know that. I think the Carolina Panthers make the most sense because of the owner and how willing he is to be behind Deshaun Watson.
Okay, so you've got Carolina. And then the other side of this, Dan Graziano, I find it fascinating that he goes to visit the Falcons while the other ones haven't had that in-person visit. Could the Falcons really be in play here?
They definitely are. And I think at the beginning, when Adam and Mort reported a couple days ago that the Falcons were interested, a lot of people dismissed it because they have Matt Ryan on their roster. And if they were to trade Matt Ryan, they'd take a dead cap hit of over $40 million. Oh. Add $35 million for Deshaun Watson. Now you're spending $75 million on the quarterback spot, at least as pertains to your cap. So they would have to make other difficult decisions on the roster. They would be short on draft picks, having had to trade them for Deshaun Watson. They could maybe recoup some of that in a Matt Ryan trade, but not all of it. So you'd be in a situation in Atlanta where, you know, the roster would be a little banged up in the first year. But team owner Arthur Blank really wants this to happen. And Deshaun Watson, I'm told, is intrigued because it's home.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Mike. When a team owner wants something, it's the GM's job to make it happen.
Absolutely. So you have to lay out what that means. And Dan just did a great job from a salary cap standpoint. This is going to be a team that is going to be bereft of talent for a while from a standpoint. No cap resources, no draft resources. Now, what you are trying to do is create an aura of association. So Mr. Blank, hopefully we'll get a guy like Jarvis Landry at the minimum, and other guys are going to want to come here. But I would look at Arthur Smith to my left I would look to Arthur Blank to my right and say, here's what it's like. And as Booger was just mentioning, all the other stakeholders have to sign off on this as well, which presumably if they're this far down the road, they have done that. But everyone has to understand that just because Deshaun Watson is there, there's a lot more work to be done to close the gap on the Buccaneers.
Right. And then, RC, I look at it from this perspective when you talk about Deshaun Watson. It's not just about getting a great talent on the field into the fold. It's about what he's bringing with him. He's still facing 22 civil lawsuits. He's been cleared of those criminal charges. But you're not – with Deshaun Watson, other things come to mind. How does that play out in this entire scenario?
Well, I think most of these teams have accepted that there could be punishment levied by the NFL. We've seen many situations where criminal charges were not brought, but things were detrimental to the league or detrimental to the Shield, and these young players were punished. And I think Deshaun Watson will be another candidate for that when you look at the 22 allegations levied against him by those women. And so I think those teams get that, though. Those teams understand that. This is the long play with Deshaun Watson. Teams aren't trying to trade for Deshaun Watson to have him for the next 3 or 4 years. This isn't a Tom Brady situation. This is a situation where you have a guy for the next decade who is the quarterback of your team. And if you have to wait 6 games in order to get him, I believe they think that he's that sort of talent that it is more than worth it. And you mentioned, and Booger mentioned David Tepper. I'm sure Arthur Blank and the owners of these other teams understand exactly what Deshaun Watson means from the quarterback position. And now, those allegations aside, when you think of who people have seen Deshaun Watson as a leader since he was the quarterback in Clemson, everything that he's been as a football player has been all that you've wanted from that position, all that you've wanted from a leader. And I think teams are more focused on that than focused on what he is dealing with away from the field.
Okay, but that ends up being part of the equation here. When you talk about Deshaun Watson, it's what's the fan base going to say? There's a certain there's got to be a degree of the fan base for all these franchises.
These people do not care about this fan base, right? Look, like I get what we're trying to do, man. I get that we want to make sure everybody understands that we know what's going on the outside. I also get that this is something that we can't speak on because you have to protect these women. You have to make sure that these women are respected. So it's not about us talking about the legal ramifications or what it means with suspensions. The bottom line is this, and we can face it if we want to face it, and you can ignore it if you want to ignore it. If Deshaun Watson is on that team and Deshaun Watson wins, people are going to have number 4 jerseys on in those stands, and they are going to cheer and wave their pom-poms and hope that they get that ring. And if they get that ring, he will be in the ring of honor for that team, period. NFL is about winning. NFL is not the moral high ground of the world. If he is cleared, if he's suspended, whatever it is, when it's time for him to put on a jersey, people will cheer for Deshaun Watson, whether shareholders are pissed off about it or not.
All of that is true. And we see instances around the NFL where people have been associated with and found guilty of you know, terrible things, and they're still cheered on Sundays because of how good they are. But to think that there isn't some level or wasn't some level of apprehension going into this process because of the fact of 22 civil lawsuits from different women alleging sexual misconduct would be foolish. Quite frankly, if that had never happened, we'd be talking about more than 4 interested teams.
Okay.
Well, guys,
listen,
Ryan,
go ahead, Booger.
Here's the thing I'll say. Notice when this heated up. One, and to RC's point, they're not really, and we can say that we're concerned about the 22 civil allegations, and that's great to put on TV, and that's great to put in the paper, but this thing really heated up when the grand jury said, hey,
yes,
we're not going to press criminal charges. The very next thing that Shefty said was, hey, it's about to be on and popping. So that tells you right there, once criminal charges out of the way, man, these organizations ain't worried about civil lawsuits. They're going to write, somebody's going to write the check. We're going to have a nice little press conference. We're going to answer a lot of questions. And when that number 4 is on the field next year, we will deal with everything that comes with that. Just pay attention to the timeline. Criminal charges gone. Hey, let's get this trade market on and popping.
Okay.
And just the last point.
Like, got a couple seconds, but go ahead.
Yeah, the eligibility is the other part of this. All those teams had to factor in, Ryan, that he can miss upwards of a third of the season this year as well.
Right. You got to factor all of this into what you bring in with Deshaun Watson. Well, coming up, the Browns, Baker Mayfield. You know, the Browns want to be in on the Deshaun Watson sweepstake, but Baker may be saying bye-bye. Wait until you hear what our Chris Mortensen had to say about the situation. You will, coming up. Plus, the Lakers took another step towards missing the play-in tournament. Could the unthinkable actually happen to them? We'll be back on Get Up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by WebEx.
Back with you on Get Up, and let's take you to the NCAA First Four. Rutgers taking on Notre Dame. West Region First Four. This one was fantastic. Overtime. 10 seconds left. Notre Dame down 2. Blake Wesley drives, hits the layup, and now Rutgers has a chance to win it in overtime. The heave? No. And we head to double overtime. And then in double OT, 30 seconds left. Rutgers down 3. Ron Harper Jr. He's got the ball, takes the 3. Good. Game tied at 87. 10 seconds left. Wesley at it again. Drives. Misses. But Paul Atkinson puts it back. Notre Dame up by 2. Last chance for Rutgers. Geo Baker, can you make it from half court? No. And Notre Dame wins it 89-87. They advance and will play Alabama Friday in San Diego. So the tournament field is set, and we bring in Jay Billis and Seth Greenberg to talk it over. Jay, start with you. Give us your 3 upsets you like in the round of 64.
Well, something to look at in the West region, Vermont over Arkansas. And Arkansas is the better team. They should be able to bully Vermont, but Vermont plays a 5-out offense. They have great cutters. They play with an open post, and they shoot 41% from 3. Those all seniors are led by Ryan Davis and Ben Shungu, and this team can really play. And then in the Midwest, South Dakota State over Providence. Now, Providence, again, the better team, but South Dakota State can really score. Almost 90 points a game, over 52% from the field, 45% from 3. And Baylor Shireman can really shoot it as well, an excellent player. And then staying in the Midwest, Miami over USC. You know, Miami's got a lot of different playmakers, whether it's Cam McGusty, Isaiah Wong, Charlie Moore. And then their big guy, Sam Wardenberg, can pull the opposing big guys from USC away from the basket. USC's an excellent 2-point defensive team, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Miami as a 10 seed upset USC in that region.
Okay, a lot of great upsets there for people who are still coming up with their brackets. Seth, last hour you said Virginia Tech, an 11 seed, could make a run. So give me another double-digit seed that you like.
I'm going to go to the South and talk about UAB over Houston. You say, how can UAB beat Houston? I'll tell you one thing. Number one, UAB can score. They average 80 points a game. They got a guy named Jelly Walker. He dropped 40 a couple times. They shoot 38% from the three-point line. They're a terrific rebounding team. If you're going to beat Houston, you got to rebound the basketball. That is so, so important. And they play at a fast pace. And when you play at a fast pace, you can play ahead of that stout Houston defense. Jelly Walker can take over again, a little bit like Max Asemus did last year. And remember, from the same conference last year, North Texas had that big upset win in the first round.
Okay. All right. Enough with the little guys. Let's talk Final Four. What do each of your Final Fours look like? Seth, start with you.
Yeah, in the West, I've got Gonzaga winning that round. And then I've got Kentucky, obviously, in the East. I've got Arizona coming out of the South. And in the Midwest, I've got Iowa. And then I've got Arizona beating Iowa. I've got Gonzaga beating Kentucky. And I've got Arizona cutting down the nets.
Ooh, okay. So, Jay, break it down. Who do you have?
I have Gonzaga, Arizona, Kansas, and Kentucky. And I think after 2 championship games in the last 4 years, I think that Gonzaga is going to win the national championship this year. And Mark Few is going to get his first big trophy.
Wow, that would be big. Imagine that. I mean, it's been a tough road for Gonzaga when you talk about wanting to win it all. This could be their year. That's actually my pick as well. So we'll see how this all plays out. Guys, any other pick that you're thinking of? Seth, just real quick, any other team you're thinking of that could surprise people in the tournament?
Yeah, I know, but surprise for Texas Tech, I think they're going to be interesting because their style of play defensively, you know, the art of the upset is a style of play. especially when you got to have a quick turnaround. And, you know, Texas Tech's ability to keep you on one side of the floor, stop you from getting into the paint. They limit paint touches. They limit paint points. If they can score it, they can make a deep run and maybe upset a Gonzaga, maybe upset a Duke.
Okay, this is going to be a great tournament, guys. Thank you so much for the picks, the advice. Can't wait for this all to start. And by the way, the ESPN Tournament Challenge brackets are now open. Scan to download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app to fill out your men's and women's brackets. You can fill out up to 25 brackets for a chance to win $100,000 in prizes for both games. The men's bracket closes today at noon Eastern. Women's bracket closes tomorrow morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern. So choose wisely and choose fast, because it's coming up. Speaking of coming up, Mile High expectations in Denver. You won't believe what Russell Wilson said he wants to accomplish with his new team. But first, give me a little sneaky hembo time for Graziano.
Basketball again.
Again? This is tough. Which player scored the most points in the NCAA tournament as a freshman? It's a tough one.
It is.
Can he get it? The drama builds. We will be back.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by WebEx. Tip-off is almost here. Download the app now.
Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, back with a little sneaky hembo time for Graziano. Which player scored the most points in the NCAA tournament as a freshman?
So, Tannenbaum's guess was Carmelo Anthony, and I thought about Carmelo because I think it's got to be one of these one-and-done guys that won a championship. Anthony Davis also occurred to me. And the one that keeps nagging at me is Derrick Rose. They didn't win.
Yep.
He should have. He scored one more, right? And they didn't go to overtime against Kansas. I'm going to guess Derrick Rose.
You are right.
Where are you, Hembo?
I don't even understand how
you're not
got
even here.
That. That's
I took
amazing.
You through it. I
Derrick
took you through
Rose, 125 points. I just have to say, I've seen you beat Hembo many times. This might be your greatest win.
I'm 2-1 this week on basketball.
Amazing.
Hembo.
He might be unstoppable. Oh, look at the season totals.
Bring hockey.
Graziano, 11-8. What? The year's starting out great for you.
It is, but yeah. You know, it's not how you start. It's how you finish.
There you go.
Just ask Derrick
Rose.
There you go.
So, Hembo, there's still time. By the way, grade Dan an A for that. Let's talk about some offseason grades for NFL teams. Mike Tannenbaum, what grade do you give the Cowboys for their performance in free agency so far?
Not very good at all. It's not where you start with your first day, right? So we give them a C-minus, and maybe they pick up a player here or there. But we are not off to a good start in Dallas.
Yeah, they're not exactly the Dave Graziano of free agency so far. Booger McFarland, what grade do you give the Jacksonville Jaguars so far in free agency?
Well, I'm going to give them incomplete because we don't know how this team is going to be put together. Usually when you go out and you try to buy a team, it doesn't work. Let's see what they do in the draft. Let's see how they continue to put this team together. I'm a little skeptical. However, Doug Peterson is a Super Bowl winning coach. I understand some people are not as high on Trent Baalke, but let's see how they put the rest of this team together.
Okay, RC, what grade do you give the Denver Broncos?
I give them a freaking A. Listen, you go out and you get Russell Wilson, a guy who's a Pro Bowl quarterback. possibly a future first ballot Hall of Famer. And now you give him an opportunity to continue his legacy with some of those skilled players you have. And then you add Randy Gregory on the other side to a defense that's already great and young on the back end, to a front seven that already had Bradley Chubb. And now Randy Gregory coming off of the opposite side. I think they've done some great things in big ways in the offseason. And this is truly going to help this team compete in the AFC West.
Okay, so for an A for the Broncos, and by the way, speaking of those Broncos, I think their head coach Nathaniel Hackett would give them an A too, based on how excited he was about Russell Wilson yesterday. Take a look.
Wow. Come on, y'all. Russell Wilson. Holy sh... very exciting.
My goal is to play 10 to 12 more years and hopefully win 3 to 4 more Super Bowls. You know, that's the plan. So I think that's the mindset. That's why I came here, to hopefully be able to finish my career here and to finish on top as a champion. In terms of the AFC West, I want to play against the best. I don't fear anything. So I'm looking forward to it.
Wow. Big talk. Doesn't fear anything. 3 to 4 Super Bowls. I mean, everybody fears something, right? I fear snakes.
Snakes,
I mean,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Something.
So, guys, what's the reaction to this? Mike, I start with you.
Boy, you're biting off a little bit more than you could chew. Look, they have a chance to win now with Russell Wilson, and without him, they have no chance against Mahomes and Herbert. But to say you're going to win 3 or 4 championships, that's a heavy lift. If they win one, that's a great accomplishment. And because he has great lower body flexibility, I really like the way he avoids the big hits. He has a chance to have real sustainability despite being a shorter quarterback. So I do like that. But I think that is a really high mark for him, just from a standpoint of that division is historically tough.
Mm-hmm. And I give him credit for bringing getting the fan base excited.
Yeah.
I mean, how fired up would you be? But RC, does this trade bring them even one championship?
I don't know. I mean, that's the goal. I mean, I don't know. Like, you guys always do this to me. You put
that?
Me in these positions where I have to prognosticate and I have to be prophetic, and I'm just not. I'm a simple man, man. I'm from the West Bank of New Orleans. Like, I don't know a ton. What I know how to do is watch football and tell you what the hell is happening and how they need to improve or why they have not. And when you look at the Denver Broncos, they have improved. They felt like they had the skilled players last year, but it was Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke. Do you know why Nathaniel Hackett almost cussed? Because he just came from Aaron Rodgers, and when he took over a team, Drew Locke was going to be his starting quarterback at the time. He couldn't get Aaron Rodgers, and then he got Russell Wilson. That will make me cuss too. And what Russell Wilson is seeing, that I got Jerry Jeudy, that I got Tim Patrick, I got Cortland Sutton, I got KJ Hamler, I got Javonte Williams behind me. I have a great defense on the other side, and I'm out of Seattle. That's why Russell Wilson is saying things that happy people say. Like on your wedding day, you say happy things like, you know what, I'm going to be married forever. It is going to be great. We are never going to argue. We're going to get along perfectly. And then 2 years into the marriage, you realize, you know what, I may have oversold it. It's still good. It just ain't as good as I thought it was on the day she was walking down the aisle. That's what happens. If he does play 10 more years, that's a good thing. And he can, because we're seeing quarterbacks play that long. If he does win one Super Bowl, that's a good thing. And it's worth it. Guys, let's not break down and critique everything that everybody says, every way that they say it, and just be happy that people are happy. It's the honeymoon phase. It's the wedding, guys.
RC, is that the equivalent of Tom Brady dropping his kids off from school for 40 days? Is that the comparison here?
Yeah.
Hey,
exactly
Tom kids
right.
Must be bad as hell. Tom kids bad.
Wise words spoken from RC the prophet. That's who he is. Dan Graziano, though.
Yeah, I don't know how to follow that.
Look, but here's how you can follow it. Right now, it's all roses.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson's in town. We're talking about Super Bowls. Everybody's happy. RC's like, it's marriage day. Everything's great. At some point, they are going to have to pay this man a lot of money, right?
Right. So this is why he's not in Seattle anymore. The Seahawks look down the road. He's got 2 years left on his contract. They said a year from now, he's going to be looking for an extension. And thanks to Aaron Rodgers, that means $50-plus million a year. Are we willing to do that? Seattle's answer was no. Therefore, he's traded. So what's Denver's answer? They're going to have to do the same thing in order to keep him happy. And now he's going to be in a position where they're trying to win a Super Bowl with a $50 million quarterback, which Mike Tannenbaum will tell you no one can possibly do, because it makes the GM's job too hard and the player is selfish for wanting the most money.
All right. Now, Booger, Mike's like, maybe they will if they're Green Bay. But Booger, I bring it back to where we started, which is this point of what is this team? Can they win Super Bowls with him? How does this team stand up with Russell Wilson against the rest of the division?
I mean, I think right now that they're what? Third at best. Like if we really want to be honest with them, are we going to put them above Kansas City? Are we putting them above the Chargers with what they've done? So listen, I understand everybody. To RC's point, I was amazed at the press conference. I love the orange pantsuit that was being worn in the photo by the White House. I love all of that. However, with this being said, let's not be a prisoner of the moment and all of a sudden say that the Denver Broncos are a Super Bowl winning team. The reason they're happy is because they have a guy. They have somebody other than Teddy Bridgewater, other than Drew Locke, and they now, when they go into training camp in about 3 or 4 months, they now can say, you know what? We have hope, because with Bridgewater and Locke, we didn't have hope. Now, with hope, everything else can be built off of that. But let's just see how this team gets put together. And if you're Russell, and I think we've said this before, Russell now has to show that he can be the reason a team wins and not just be a piece. Because everybody that's been with Russell said this: you won because of everything around you with the Legion of Boom and the running game. Now, yeah, can you go and win because of you? I want to see that. And along the way, I'm still going to be smiling and happy. And I love the photos and all of that. And Russell has never lost a press conference, guy. Have we?
Never.
Like, he's never lost one. And
never.
He won yesterday.
Undefeated.
Nope. He's never lost a press conference.
Might not be that way on the football field, but I tell you what, he works in the press room. I'll tell you that. Guys, thank you so much. Now let's talk some NBA, because we had a great game of the night last night. Mavericks versus Nets, bringing in Jay Will, too, to talk about this one. KD in the Nets facing the Mavs. No Kyrie because they were in Brooklyn. Mm. Under a minute to go. This thing was tight. KD misses the jumper. Nick Claxton there to finish it off.
Well, I got to tell you, every possession, KD saw 2 to 3 defenders. And the way the Mavs guarded Kevin Durant will be how teams will guard KD in the playoffs.
That's key. And Goran Dragic not guarding Luka Doncic so well there. But KD right here, you talked about it. They were all over him. And he still nails the three. Nets take a 1-point lead. 7 seconds to go. This is it. Luka with the ball in his hands. Does he take the shot? No. He gives it to Spencer Dinwiddie, who goes for three. And it's good. The buzzer beater over his old team that let him walk, and he walked right into a win. 2 points, Mavericks beat the Nets.
I love when I see players celebrating. He's like, get out the way, man. Get out the way, I'm here. This is my celebration. Get the hell out the way.
He just broke my shoulder, yeah, but that's okay. Let's talk about these Nets, man, because I got to tell you, KD talking about the double team, you just mentioned it. They were all over him. When Kyrie's not in, and if he doesn't play, let's say in the play-in tournament, playing against Toronto, if that happens, how does that work out for KD facing all these double and sometimes triple teams?
Well, look, last night they were playing without Seth Curry, and Seth Curry can handle the basketball. He's also a prolific three-point shooter from the wing, which you can't really help on him if he's on the same side as KD. So they will be okay. But this does lead to questions that when the scouting report is, you throw two people at KD, will guys like Bruce Brown, will guys like Nick Claxton, will these guys be able to make plays and make passes and score at the load that the Nets will need them to in order to win games down the stretch?
Yeah, and it's going to be a tough road to hoe. And I always say, everybody has to remember that right now where they stand, they would face Toronto. They would have to go to Toronto, yes, and Kyrie at the moment would not be able to play in that
Just
game.
Think about this. The two teams with prolific stars, mm-hmm, on their rosters right now, Kevin Durant with the Nets, LeBron James with the Lakers.
Right.
We're both asking them to do some pretty amazing things to keep themselves in the hunt for the play-in tournament.
Right.
Like, that's where we are with the game of basketball right now, which shows you the depth of talent that is up top.
Meanwhile, let's run the floor because I want to get to the Lakers in a second. Go around the NBA, the Celtics. First, we start there. They rolled past the Warriors 110-88, but the big story was Steph Curry's foot. Marcus Smart dived for a loose ball, colliding with Curry, causing him to go down with that left foot injury. As you see right there, Curry would leave the game and not return. And then there was Joel Embiid. Happy birthday to him, 28th birthday. He carried the Sixers to a 118-114 victory over the Cavs. He had 35 points, 17 rebounds in the birthday gift for Philly fans. And then there were the Lakers, like we talked about, losing time again to the T-Wolves this time, 124-104. LeBron, Russell Westbrook combined for 34 points, including that air ball. That cat was like, where did that go? And a lot of trash talk in this one. What did Russ have to say about it after the game?
The trash talking doesn't bother me none. Nobody over there has done anything that in this league that, you know, make me put my eyes up. Like, oh, they're talking mess. Let me respond. No. So it's fine. They're good. They won a game. You know, happy for them. Move on to the next one. That's that.
Okay, so that's his response to the trash talk. What do you make of that and what all this means for LeBron, too?
I just feel bad for where Russ is right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was a defense mechanism kicking in, talking about obviously him winning an MVP. But look, his play on the court speaks exponentially louder than the words he could at a post-presser. Minnesota is just a better team than what the Lakers are right now. They were a 10-point favorite last night at home. When's the last time you've said that the Lakers are a 10-point underdog against the Minnesota Timberwolves? And I think for a guy like Russ, you know, when he was in OKC, he didn't get criticized every single day because nobody expected them to win a championship. Houston, it started to happen a little bit. Going to D.C., going to other places, didn't really happen. Now when you play with LeBron James, every single day, everything you say you do will be criticized, will be scrutinized. And that's the kind of – it's a Russell Westbrook reality show right now is what we're witnessing.
And I think a lot of people, when they look at Russ, they say, you knew this might happen. You asked for this. You came to L.A. The lights are bright. Now you have to answer the questions, and he seems to be really having a tough time with it. And then there's LeBron. He asked for this matchup. He asked for this pairing, and this is how it's working out. Could all of this actually impact LeBron's legacy?
I will take a team winning a championship 1 out of 3 years, all day, every day. We forget what happened, you know, 19, 20 plus months ago when LeBron James did win a championship. Now, if you want to sit there and debate whether it was in the bubble or not, it doesn't really matter. Fine, it doesn't matter. It still counts as
a
banner. And I want to remind people that, like, there is bad that comes along with the good when you go through the turbulence of a season. LeBron James is one of the best players to ever see doing it. He put up 250-point games at the age of 37. Get the hell out of here.
Unbelievable. I still can't get my head around it, what he's doing at this stage in his career. Now, I want to talk to you quickly about Steph Curry. That ankle got rolled against Marcus Smart as he dove for that loose ball. And I think about it, I look, and everybody's asking today, was that a dirty play?
So here's my thing about dirty basketball plays. They do happen. I'm not going to sit up here and advocate that Marcus Smart has never made dirty plays before. But I want to show you guys something. Bring the camera out here. We're going to do a little demonstration.
Ryan,
put down your paper.
You got to take my knees off?
Put down your paper. I want to show you the difference between something.
All right.
Because this is what Greg Popovich has said to me. This is what Pat Riley has said to me. This is what Coach K has preached to me since I was 16 years old.
Right.
The difference between winning and losing games comes down to 50-50 balls. So there's two types of players. There's one player that bends down at the knees for the loose ball.
Is that me?
Another player that dives on the floor. So I just want you to bend down for a knee. And I want to show you, as you bend down for a knee, and when I dive on the ball and I roll on it, when I dive on a ball and I roll on it.
Medic!
I'm sorry, if your leg happens to be in the way.
True.
Now, it's not like the ball is over here and I'm diving here for the ball. The ball's in your way. So my thing is, if Steph Curry dove on that ball and Marcus Smart dove on the ball too, he never gets injured. But Steph Curry bent down at the waist. And I'm trying to tell you, man, from the things that have been preached to me since I've been a little boy, that's the difference between winning and losing games. The person who's willing to sacrifice their body is the reason why the Boston Celtics have been one of the best defensive teams in the NBA over the past 2 months.
I love that you did it that way because you can feel it. The moment you start going down like this, the moment you don't dive for that ball, you put yourself in harm's way.
Is your ankle okay?
It's okay. I think I'll live. I think I can finish the show.
Okay, we'll get the MRI after the show.
Thank you, man.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
You got
All right.
It.
Well, when we come back, Deshaun Watson. He's the story. Everybody's waiting to see where he goes. Where will he end up? And what does it mean for the team he joins? That and more coming up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, and with the Deshaun Watson story, where a decision could come any moment on his future and where he will play next. Watson met with the Falcons yesterday in Atlanta after meeting with the Saints, the Panthers, and the Browns earlier this week. And I want to turn now to Dan Graziano, because there's a new development, Dan, in terms of one of the teams interested in Deshaun Watson. Tell us about it.
According to our Field Yates, the New Orleans Saints have restructured the contract of quarterback Taysom Hill, cornerback Bradley Roby, linebacker Demario Davis, and safety Malcolm Jenkins to clear cap space. And as a result of these moves, the Saints are now $29.9 million under the cap, which gets them close. They need to be $35 million under in order to acquire Deshaun Watson, because that will be his cap number with his new team once he is traded. So Saints working on clearing room to make this move happen if he indeed picks them.
Okay, so when you talk about the cap, this is sneaky huge news, because this could be what they need to bring him in. Could mean they're closing in on him.
Yeah, exactly right. And to take that a step further, under the rules, they would have to carry that cap charge of $35 million for 24 hours. Then they could renegotiate Deshaun Watson's contract as a Saint, lower the base salary, give him a signing bonus, which a lot of teams do. But to make the trade official, they would have to carry $35 million for one day.
Okay, now I know we don't know this for certain, but from your guys' perspective, does this make you think that the Saints might be moving towards the front of the pack to get Deshaun Watson?
Absolutely. You wouldn't be creating this much room on March 17th unless something was imminent, in my mind. So those are things you would do down the road if you needed to. So you're not creating that much space overnight unless you feel like you have a reasonable chance of getting this done.
Archie, what do you make of this move?
I mean, I think the Saints are trying to do their best to make sure they're situated if Deshaun Watson decides that they're going to be the team that he picks. And I think we see this all the time. We knew that Mickey Loomis and the New Orleans Saints had to restructure some of these contracts anyway, because they were a team that was in cap hell, a team that wasn't going to be able to move around freely. Now that they feel like they may be closing in on the opportunity to sign a guy like Deshaun Watson, they want to be prepared. This is a let's stay ready so we ain't ever got to get ready situation for the New Orleans Saints. If he decides that this is the place he wants to be, they want to be prepared to be able to receive him, both as it stands on the salary cap and also on the locker room, the city, and the organization.
And Booger, I got to say, of all the teams, I think it's all of us can say that this is the best team in terms of the teams interested in that final group to get Deshaun Watson. Does this make them into a Super Bowl contender?
Again, Deshaun Watson can go to any team, and if it's up to the general manager and the head coach to put the parts around him, because he is a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. So sure, you look at the defense that New Orleans has, and then the way that they play the Buccaneers, who's won that division the last couple years, this puts them right in that category. But let's not act as if that this is the only team. I think you could put Deshaun Watson in Carolina. They make a couple moves. Carolina with a franchise quarterback could be right there. So wherever he goes to, he is going to make them into a playoff caliber team, which gets them in the dance. And once you get in the dance, hey, now it's about who shows up and who performs and who plays the best during the tournament. But Deshaun Watson is a top five quarterback. So wherever he goes, he is going to command that type of attention from us and anybody else covering this league.
Mike, can I ask you, as we look at this, I wonder, let's say you're watching the show, if you're Carolina, Atlanta, whomever, you're watching, you're hearing this, you're probably doing your restructurings as well. But as a GM, how are you approaching Deshaun Watson at this point, knowing the ball is in his court, not wanting to push too hard, but you got to make a move, because he could make a move at any moment?
I would get on the phone with him, and I just would be a great listener. I would talk about how can we make you successful on the field, off the field. We want to develop something that's dynastic and sustainable. Here's our plan about how we're going to do it from on the field, as Booger alluded to. But what else is important to you, Deshaun? How else can we support you in a meaningful way off the field and start recruiting him in a way that hopefully he feels that he can become part of the community? What's happened in the past, obviously there could be a significant price he has to pay, but from a football recruiting standpoint, I would just try to stand shoulder to shoulder and be a great listener and then try to execute a plan with him.
And Dan, I want to say to people here, this is what we do. We read the tea leaves. We try to see the information out there and try to figure out what's happening. And another one of these tea leaves is, of all the teams involved, he went to Atlanta.
Right.
To visit them in person, not the others.
Yeah, I mean, look, that is an interesting aspect of this. We don't know why. I mean, he may have been visiting family there. But Atlanta's serious, and I think they were kind of dismissed by a lot of people in this when they got into it because of the cap situation, because of the Matt Ryan situation. But Arthur Blank, the team owner, really wants to try and make this happen, and Deshaun Watson, it's home. Like, it has to be tempting. So I think they're a real factor, even though all along we've thought New Orleans would be the most likely spot.
Yeah, and we'll see if it will be. They're making maneuvers, as Dan says, to try to at least lower their cap number, perhaps in anticipation of trying to bring Deshaun Watson in. And that decision could come at any moment. Now, let's talk about this. The NCAA Women's Tournament First Four continues tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN2 and the ESPN app, with Mount St. Mary. Mary's taking on Longwood. Then Florida State squares off against Missouri State. And now on to a developing story. In a Moscow court has announced that it has extended the arrest of Brittany Griner. According to Russian state news agency TASS, Griner will be held in custody until at least May 19th. The two-time Olympic gold medalist was arrested on allegations of drug smuggling. She allegedly was carrying cannabis oil at a Moscow airport back on February 17th when she was returning to Russia to rejoin her Russian team. If convicted, Griner could face up to 10 years in prison. The WNBA season is scheduled to start on May 6th. Well, coming up on First Take, the Nets were on the wrong end of a wild ending in Brooklyn. Is Kyrie letting down his teammates by not playing in these games? Stephen A., Molly, J. Will, weigh in at the top of the hour.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The NCAA Women's Championship first round begins tomorrow morning at 11:30 Eastern on ESPN2. South Florida squares off against Miami, followed by South Dakota and Ole Miss. And ESPN has Howard taking on number one seeded South Carolina at 2 Eastern. Then it's Illinois State matched up with Caitlin Clark and Iowa. All games are also available on the ESPN app, so you can watch them anywhere. Now, speaking of watching something, watch this. Eye candy from the G League, Jalen Lecque. In transition, huge dunk. Look at the dude probably trying to take the charge. Look at him right there.
Yeah, but his heart wasn't.
Moves out of the way. Look at RC just nodding his head. Not he liking
was,
it, RC.
He was not trying to take a charge. He was trying to get out of the way. I don't know what he was expecting Jalen to do. Was he expecting him to lay it up? Was he expecting him to pass it? Was he expecting him to shoot a floater? I know he wasn't expecting him to Vince Carter Olympic Games him, and that's why he got out of the way. Nobody wants that visual. Nobody wants that visual of Vince Carter shorts grazing over the top of your head. So he got out of the way. Guess it's a smart move.
Booger, what would you have done in that situation?
I would have removed myself from the picture. But this reminds me, I think it was 1993. I was a sophomore. I had something very similar to this, except I missed the dunk.
You missed the dunk?
Oh. Booger
Wait, missed
Book.
The dunk.
Yeah. You tried to dunk?
I had the same thing happened to me.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
No?
Stop lying, Booger.
I'd have taken the charge, put an elbow in, see what happens. All right, guys, First Take starts
that
now.
Did not happen.